What's up, Beardos? You're listening to episode 263 of The Bearded Vegans.
Basically, our whole philosophy boils down to, don't be a jerk.
Don't answer the question first. Not answering the question. I really hope people didn't tune in to hear us talking about beards.
Welcome to the show. I'm Paul.
And I'm Andy.
And we are The Bearded Vegans, a podcast featuring a dissection of all things vegan.
If you're just tuning in for the first time, you can find all of our previous episodes at thebeardedvegans.com. And you can always reach us by emailing thebeardedvegans@gmail.com.
In today's episode, we're going to give the good news and then talk about the future of the podcast.
And do not worry, we're not going to try to tease this out or anything. We are not ending the podcast at all. But Paul, as a fan of over-explaining things, as a fan of podcasts that peel back the curtain, that's going to be a lot of what today's episode is going to be. So suffice it to say, if this is your first time listening to this podcast, we recommend that you get the hell out.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be a little bit different than most of our other podcasts. We're kind of, Andy, we're refocusing, we're regrouping. Andy and I have had, I would say, I mean, I love Andy so much. And one of the things, one of the many things that I love about Andy is he is an incredible communicator and good at talking things out and working things out. And I feel like even though we weren't having like, I'd say we weren't butting heads or anything like that. You know, we just needed to refocus the podcast a little bit. And Andy and I have had some very good discussions over the last few weeks. And we're going to kind of be bringing you in this episode, bringing you some of the conclusions of those discussions. And I'd say we're still working out some of these things, but I feel like our podcast is going to continue to become even better, both in terms of the content we're putting out, but also the sustainability for Andy and myself, because it is a lot of work sometimes or all the time.
is always a lot of work. Yeah, Paul, that's something that I really like about doing at least this podcast. I think the way we have sort of fallen into the kind of flow that we have and the types of content that we create is that I feel like at its best, our podcast is a conversation, like quite literally between you and I, but also ideally with our listeners as well. And so like, I hope that this can be a space. I think that we've created the space where it's like, one, it's okay to not come to any solid conclusions. It's okay to not know. It's okay to embrace sort of the messiness of trying to do your best in the world as an activist, as a vegan, as a human being. And a part of that is having the ability to step back and take a look at what works, what doesn't work. And hopefully, you know, a lot of what we do is shaped by the feedback that we get from y'all as well. So in this very moment, just want to give everybody, including you, it's sort of a big warm audio hug because it pleases me to no end to communicate about our needs. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And you know, Andy, it's like, we've gone through a few of these different iterations before. I love that our podcast has grown and evolved over the years, both in terms of like, how can we bring better content, but also moments where we've said, this isn't working for one reason or another. This aspect of the podcast isn't working for one or both of us. And what can we do to change that? And I love that we have this sort of this movement, this openness of growing and changing and making something different. And I just want to say that I appreciate that. And I appreciate you, Andy.
And I appreciate all you wonderful beardos out there that are along for that ride. You know, there's been times where we've expressed like, man, we're feeling kind of burnt out about this. And I think that we sort of feel this sense of self-imposed responsibility to make sure that we're putting out content every single week. And that's a lot of what we're going to talk about is that pressure. But I feel like every time we've ever expressed like, ooh, we're feeling a little burnt out or this is too much or whatever it is, we always just get a nice warm flood of emails from people saying, do what you need to do to make sure you keep putting out this content, even if it means taking a week off, taking a couple of weeks off. And we have not actually done that, but but it's nice to know that people actually value us and view us as more than like content machines that just pop up every Wednesday for you. So definitely appreciate all y'all out there that give us that support, give us that room, that flexibility. And speaking of support, Paul, before we get into this conversation, flawless transition. Mm-hmm. I just want to mention that the Veg News Veggie Awards are happening once again, and they just put out their nominations. And for the last couple of years, Paul, they have not had a Best Vegan Podcast category. They did at some point. It might have been like our first or second year as a podcast. So I think there was at least 2 years that we were in there, and then they just ripped that category away from the vegan podcasters. But that category is back this year and we're in it. So, Paul, I guess we didn't scare them away with our sharp critiques of the content that they put out occasionally. And we're in there. So we'll put a link to the voting thing in the show notes. If you feel that we have earned your vote, definitely go ahead and do that. The voting ends, I believe, on January 31st. So it's pretty cool to be in there because, Paul, we're in there with some big names.
And Andy, we are also almost the last category. So you have to scroll through about four pages of things. We're number 53, category number 53, I believe.
Good Lord. Good Lord. But you don't actually have to vote in every single category for your vote to be counted. Cause the makeup section came and I was like, oh, I don't even have any like name recognition for a lot of these companies. So I'm not going to throw a faulty vote behind someone just cause I've seen them like advertise in a magazine or something like that. But yeah, we're appreciative of everybody's support there.
And also Compassion Co. is in there as well. Is that correct, Andy?
That is correct, Paul. Thank you for for reminding me. Yeah, this year, I think it's the first they've ever had like a straight up vegan clothing brand category. They've always kind of split all the, you know, like Me and Herbivore and Beat by Beat and stuff like all those kind of brands. We're all in these like weird, separate, different categories. I was usually in like Best Online Store or something, and I'm up against like Vegan Essentials, and they always win because everybody knows them. And so now there's just like all the brands, so many friends of mine were all in this one category together. So, hey, feel free to give me a vote there too, if you want.
And you should.
Yes. So again, we'll put a link to that up in the show notes. Okay, Paul, let's talk about what we're doing here. So I think that obviously more than any other year, there's been this big pressure for 2021 to be much better than the previous year. Right. There's just sort of like, oh, I can't wait for 2020 to be over. Mm-hmm. And obviously, like these numbers, they're just numbers. They don't really signify anything truly different changing. But for me personally, I do really appreciate the new year, the sort of the vibe that's like, this is a time for people to set intentions for the year going forward. It's a time to maybe step back. Hopefully, if you are someone that was able to take a couple of days off of work around the holidays, certainly I know not everybody has that luxury or that privilege, but for a lot of folks, it can act as a time to just like slow your body down and just think about those things. I know for me personally, that was the case. Like, I feel like I've been, due to the pandemic, just like had so little free time to do anything other than focus on meeting my basic needs for like 7 straight months or something. So it was a couple of weeks ago in that vibe that we finally had a discussion about what do we want this podcast to be? What do we think we do best? What do we think we do worst? What are the things that we do that actually bring us joy that we like to do that doesn't just feel like a grind to produce that kind of content? And then how can we actually achieve those things? And I would say, Paul, I think it's honestly the first conversation we've had like that, even though we've had adjustments here and there, really since we started the podcast, because anyone that's ever listened to us tell the story of how we started the podcast, it's you saying, hey, you want to do a podcast? And me saying, sure. And then here we are 5.5 years later. And we never, you know, we didn't have some dream of being, not that we are some big podcasters, but, you know, like some big thing that's producing stuff every week. And this is the longest relationship I've had, Paul, like long term, yeah. Like you and me.
we're in it for the long term, baby.
so it was I think it was really good. I think it's almost like scary to have those conversations with anyone you're in a relationship with, because what if you're What if your views of what you want for the future don't actually align? And what if you've just been sort of chugging along because it's easier to do that than to actually ask those hard questions? So we finally did that. And I think it felt really good, at least speaking for myself, it felt really good to actually have those very frank conversations.
Yeah, no, Andy, it's definitely good because, like you said, you don't always know where the other person stands. And, you know, honestly, even if there is some disagreements about some things, it does just feel good to have it all in the open.
Yeah. So good news. We both still want to do the podcast. So that's hurdle number one. And Paul, like we sat down, and I think the very first thing I asked you was, and by sat down, I mean, had a nice Zoom call. And I asked you like, straight up, like, how do you feel about the podcast right now? Which is very open-ended question. And you immediately started sort of talking about what it is that you think that we do well and like what type of content we create that makes you feel the best.
Yeah, you know, Andy, I think, and we've certainly mentioned this many times before, I think, that you know, there are some episodes and not necessarily due to us not putting any work in or anything like that, but there's certainly some episodes where it is 10 minutes before we are about to start recording and we're just sitting here on this Google Hangouts and saying to each other, what the heck are we going to talk about? We have scheduled this time to record and we have no idea what we're even going to talk about. Inevitably, we have found something to talk about, but sometimes some of those episodes, even if I think we had good conversations, it's not like it doesn't feel intentional and it doesn't feel as, I guess, important as some of these, I'll say, bigger or more like themed episodes we've done before. Like I'm, you know, obviously I'm thinking of the Thug Kitchen one, which of course was Andy's baby. That was, you know, 99% Andy's doing. And I don't even necessarily want the podcast to turn into that, because that was a very different vibe than what our podcast normally is. Very, very much so not conversational. But the fact that it was like it had this cohesion, it was over the course of two episodes, and we told this kind of story and we had this conclusion. Not that our podcast has to have a conclusion, but I liked that about it. I liked that it was more cohesive. And so, you know, we kind of... And Andy, is it safe to assume that you also enjoy doing those sorts of episodes where that have more of a bigger focus?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the joy in putting those episodes together was really in doing the research and finding those moments that I knew would make it into the show, or happening across a comment and being like, oh, I need to talk to this person because they had this experience, and doing that sort of investigative work was a lot of, I felt like joy in the focus that required. And there was something about being able to say like, next time on the Bearded Vegans, you know, it's so rare that we actually know what next time on the Bearded Vegans is actually going to be, unless it's perhaps a mailbag episode, then we know what it's going to be. But even then, we probably still haven't collected all the emails and put together the thing. So yeah, so there is something about those types of episodes that I enjoy. And like you said, Paul, like I don't foresee us doing a lot of content like that, because I don't think that it highlights what we actually are and what we do best. Doesn't mean that there won't be some other platforms where that kind of content could come out. But I think that like what I like about our podcast, Paul, is having a conversation with you, mm-hmm. and having the space to not know something and work through some issues, and then, you know, even perhaps get some listener feedback and be like, hey, have you considered XYZ? And we're like, what? Oh, I hadn't even thought of that before. Like, that's what I love most about this podcast. And that's the kind of thing that I was like, I want to do more of that, but I also want more of a structure to that. I want a word that you used, more intentionality to the content that we're creating.
And Andy, I think maybe it's slightly intentionally or unintentionally, I feel like we kind of did that recently with the invasive species episode, the lanternfly episode, where it was kind of like, there are these topics where we put them off sometimes because we know that we have to do some more research on them. And we ended up doing research on that. I did more of the, you know, the lanternfly research. You did some more of the general invasive species research. And at least for me, Andy, from my perspective, I didn't think that was going to be a great episode, but I feel like that was a really good episode. Like, I'm very happy with how that episode came out. I didn't think it was going to be bad, but I was like, we're just going to talk about bugs for 45 minutes. Like, how good can this be? But I feel like we had a really good conversation. So, you know, we're hoping to do more things like that, where we're going to be more intentional about things, about the topics we're going to talk about. We're going to put more research into the topics that we're going to be talking about. But Andy, of course, if it sounds like this means this is us saying, hey, we're going to be putting in more work into this thing that already has a lot of work put into it. I would say you are, if it sounds like that, I would say that's partially true. So in that regard, you know, we're taking on some more tasks, or at least we're being more intentional about the tasks that we take on. But I feel like, Andy, we're also trying to structure the podcast in a way that also kind of evens out the tasks a little bit. It evens out the amount of work that we're going to do. Do you think that's fair to say?
I think so. I mean, for me personally, when I think about the work that's involved in putting together the podcast, the stuff that weighs most heavily on me, more so than the minutiae of writing up show notes and making the promo images and all of that stuff, because like those are things that are just, for me, it's like doing a long drive. It's not the same as making decisions for 8 hours. You have to drive 8 hours. You just get in the car and you go until the job is done. But the things that actually require the sort of creative work, coming up with show topics, to me, that's what weighs most heavily on me. And, you know, throughout the week, I have this like lens. I've talked about this on the show previously, but I have this sort of lens that's interpreting everything coming across my newsfeed. And it's kind of like assessing it like the Terminator. That's like, is this a topic? Do I need to remember this? Do I need to have an opinion about this? Should I be absorbing this person's opinion to help create my own opinion? All of that. And so to that end, what I said to you, Paul, was that I would love to have really planned out our episodes much further in advance. And if a big news story pops up, if some big thing that everybody's talking about pops up, then we can do that and we can cover it in a more last minute kind of way. Often those conversations yield some of the best results because we're kind of like in the moment. But we took the time to go through something we've also mentioned a few times, which is our like 20-page long Google Doc, 3 pages of which are the show notes that we work off for each show. And the rest are just the things we're like, ooh, got to research that more. Let's throw that into the Google Doc, and really like went through and picked and like deleted things that were like, we're never going to do that, or that's not interesting to us. And then like organized everything else and started to make a calendar of things that we want to talk about. And at this very moment, we know what every episode is going to be through the month of February. And to me, that is a tremendous relief, because if I have a week where I'm like really busy with Compassion Co stuff, I know like I don't need to also burden myself with trying to figure out what the heck are we actually going to talk about this week. And that also gives us a chance to hopefully, in theory, do more research for those topics when we know that they're going to be coming up in a week or two, as opposed to what happens to us all the time, which is you bring me an article and I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. We know nothing about this and we need to go spend 3 days researching this. And now we can hopefully do that in advance.
Yeah. And Andy, I think now is a good time to just tell people like the structure of these next 5 episodes, because it's all going to be part of this animal sanctuary series that we've been teasing for the last few weeks. I know we put out the call for people to tell us like what their favorite sanctuaries were, put out the call to have people send us in questions for what they want to ask sanctuaries. And so what we're going to be doing is over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be bringing back a couple, we like to call it the Bearded Vegans Classics, which is replaying an old episode, which functions for a few different purposes. I would say, first and foremost, it gives us a nice break. You know, we think that this is still an important conversation that we've had before, but as you know, Spotify and iTunes, they only let you show the last 150 or so episodes. So some people may have never heard some of these older episodes before, and they're certainly relevant to this topic. So we're going to be bringing back a couple reviews that we've done on movies. The first of which next week is going to be bringing back our review of 73 Cows. So if you have not seen 73 Cows before and you would like to see it, I think it's like a brisk 15 minute video, nice and short. You can watch it before you listen to this review. Andy's given the chef kiss and I agree. And week after that, we'll be doing another film review. And then for the following 3 weeks, as we kind of teased before, we're going to be doing some interviews with people associated with animal sanctuaries. And we're going to be asking them some of these questions that we've come up with and that we've cultivated. So we have this nice big sanctuary series that's coming up. And I think it's going to be really good. And it's going to be also, you know, a good break for the two of us, because we like to take a summer and a winter break. And this is here's our winter break right here.
Yeah. Paul, I mean, I did something radical today, which was I said, what if we just don't do an episode? What if we just like straight up actually have an episode a week where we release no content, of which I'm sure though some of y'all, many of y'all maybe would certainly miss that, would not love not having an episode on Wednesday, but would totally understand. But I feel like there's something within me that's like, no, you must release something, even if it's a breadcrumb of an episode. Paul, we've already been talking about this longer than I was expecting to, which is, of course, the story of this podcast. But something that we do when we're trying to have these breaks is figure out, like, what can we do? What can we pre-record? What can we replay with, like, a new intro and outro, which is what we will be doing with these upcoming film reviews that we're going to replay. And we try to have some cohesiveness to them. But I think something that we stumbled upon when putting together the Sanctuary series is that perhaps, you know, like often these breaks will be 4 or 5 episodes long of replaying classics, maybe one new interview or something thrown in there. And that usually by the end of that, I'm usually really itching to record something again. And so we thought, with this series, what if we replay 2 episodes that are reviews of these sanctuary-related films like 73 Cows? And what if we understand that that can help sort of set the table for the episodes ahead? Because so often, Paul, we're talking about some sort of topic and we're constantly saying, oh, and remember the, is it okay to give a crying child non-vegan ice cream episode, and we keep referencing it. And surely most people haven't listened, or many people haven't listened to that episode. And if they did, it was years ago. So what if we just put that right in front of the new episodes, and it can sort of get people in the mindset and the mind frame of thinking about sanctuaries and the place that they hold in the movement and all of that. So I think that that is going to be something that we do more moving forward, which is to say, instead of doing 4 or 5, you know, replay episodes in a row, we'll do 2 or maybe even 1 that's going to act as a building block for whatever the next episode is going to be. So it's kind of like spreading out the break as opposed to doing a couple of really long break chunks throughout the year. So we'll see how that works for us. But I think that that's good, and it's a good way to sprinkle in some of the older episodes that might be relevant to future discussions.
Yeah, you know, Andy, off the top of my head, the one that I can think of that would make the most sense if people want another example of something like this is, we've been, after we did our self-care episode a few years ago, and almost immediately after that, we released that episode, we received some feedback like, okay, well, what about community care? And so that's an episode that we've wanted to put together for a while and is a good example of this sort of thing where we're going to be more focused, and we can put out that sort of episode and, you know, probably include the self-care episode as a classic that will play the week before, because that will be great to lead into the conversation about community care. And that way, when we say, hey, remember that episode that we did about self-care, it won't be 3 years ago that people would have listened to that episode.
Absolutely. So I'm sure for some of you listening, this is way more explanation than you need. But I, as I said, live to overexplain things. I love talking about this stuff. I love hearing other podcasters and content creators talk about their process. So hopefully this is something that's kind of interesting and relevant to you and your lives. And even if you're not a podcaster or you make any kind of content, it can serve as a reminder that, like, no matter how deep you are into a specific relationship, that it's always a good time to sit down and set your intentions with that person and to figure out what do you both want out of life? Because we all grow and change and our life circumstances change, especially over the course of 5+ years.
Yeah, definitely. But Andy, we didn't want to leave people with nothing. So we thought, we both kind of were like, let's give people some good news, some good things. Especially, I will say this, especially because, you know, at the time we're recording this, yesterday was when the riots or the acts of domestic terrorism that happened in Washington, D.C. So it's like we're kind of coming off of that. I know when we release this, it'll be a week ago, but we wanted to, you know, also talk about give people some good news. So we have a couple good follow-ups, I would say, related to topics we've talked about before.
Sure. So the first thing that I just want to mention pretty quickly is that the horse carriage ban that was approved in Chicago, put into law, is now officially happening as of January 1st of this year. And so no more horse carriages on the streets of Chicago, which I think is pretty dang awesome. And I want to send a huge thank you and a congratulations to all of the activists, the grassroots activists that were working so hard to make sure that that happened. So good job, y'all. Hopefully New York City can follow.
Yeah, definitely. It certainly has been a long time coming. So congratulations to everyone that has been working on that. And Andy, the other bit of good news is from Florida. The last Greyhound racing track has been officially closed. And, you know, right before we did this episode, we were like, let's just quickly Google to make sure. Because, you know, sometimes people will say, a lot of articles are like, oh, it's going to close next week. It's going to close in a few weeks. And I found one from a source that's definitely like probably on the other end of the spectrum of things that we view. And they said, you know, this is done, this is over. And that made me happy. So that's another bit of good news. Both things, I think both, it seems as though both the great, well, I know with the Greyhound, this was put into place in 2018. And in 2018, they said, you know, the last race will be in 2020. And I think also with the carriages, that was also kind of started to gain some momentum in 2018 as well. So maybe 2 years, Andy, is the magic number of how long it takes, how long you need to hold out before you can close these things.
Hold the line.
Yeah.
All right, Paul. So that's the good news. Sorry, it's brief, but maybe some more new good news will show up in the next couple of months. We'll see. It's a rough start to the year. Rough start to the year right now. But again, congrats to all the activists who have been working very hard to make those things happen. Paul, we are planning to put out a bonus episode later this month in which we talk about the things that did bring us joy in the year of 2020. I guess more specifically and materialistically focused on like media and, you know, podcasts, movies, perhaps a book or two, things like that, music. Paul's giving me, he's Paul. Paul, have you read a single book in the year 2020?
Andy, I'm glad you asked. I read The Pornography of Meat by Carol J. Adams.
Aha, yes. Largely photographs.
And possibly the only book that I read in 2020.
So anyway, look forward to that. And for those of you that are like, wait a second, you're trying to take time off and you're recording these bonus episodes, Paul and I, you might as well just like record Paul and I's average Zoom call when we just to hang out with each other, because we're going to be talking about this stuff anyway. And it brings me great joy. And hopefully we can introduce you to some fun, cool new things. But we thought it'd be fun to maybe just talk about one thing each right now that's bringing us joy. And Paul, I see that you are going to talk about something that I was planning to talk about in that bonus episode, but I am totally fine with talking about it here because it is such an amazing thing that even though it might be kind of hard for people to get at this point, is worth gushing over.
Oh, Andy, we can talk about it again on the bonus episode. And I will also say something that you just said. Andy and I said, let's start recording at 5:30 today. And we got on this call almost exactly at 5:30. And because of the we've been so ahead of schedule on some of these episodes, I feel like we're not video calling as much because we really did a bunch in 2 weeks ago. We recorded a bunch of episodes and we got it all done. So I feel like I haven't seen you in realistically probably 2 weeks, but feels like forever because we're used to communicating more. So we got on that video call at 5:30 and then just talked about this sort of stuff until 6:45, I think. So yes, Andy is not exaggerating that this bonus episode is legitimately probably just going to be like what our conversations normally are anyways. But back on track, Andy, I want to talk about that box one. So this is a puzzle box that was put out by Neil Patrick Harris, which many of you might be like, that seems incredibly random, but apparently very into puzzles, very into magic, that NPH.
Apparently NPH was like the president of the Magic Castle or on the board or something.
Yeah, I believe that is correct. I don't, as far as I know, I don't think he does magic maybe, but no, you probably have to do some magic to be on that board. I don't know. I guess.
I bet NPH can pull out some magic tricks. Probably, you hand NPH probably a deck of cards, you're going to get some magic headed your way.
But Andy, I think, so I Andy completed box one, raved about it to me. I got it, gave it to my partner for Christmas and all of my family members. And my partner and I completed it. And I would say, Paul,
totally, totally contradicting the premise of this box, which you have not explained just yet.
I know. It says like right on the front in big letters, a box for one person, made by one person for one person. So sorry, Neil.
Paul did verify with me, can this be done with two people? But the premise is this is like it classifies itself as like an ever evolving trivia escape room in a box kind of experience. And it's just supposed to be a thing that's you in the box. But I've seen many people that completed it as two. And Paul, you did check with me beforehand to make sure that wouldn't ruin the integrity of the experience. And I said, I think it would be fine.
Yeah, and it was fine, definitely. I would say, because Andy, I think people should do this. Although apparently now it's only being sold by Target. Very, very hard to find at the moment. I hope that they restock it because I've also seen, because I think I got it for $30. And on eBay, you know, now it's like $70 or something like that. Don't pay $70 for it. Wait till it. And also don't buy it from people who are just like, you know, buying it to resell it anyways. So wait till it drops back down to its regular price. But I would say, having done zero other escape room at home experiences, I am confident in saying this is probably one of the best ones. Not having done any other ones, I would say this is probably one of the best. Because I see some of the other ones and I say, I don't think this is as good.
So, Paul, I completed this while I was doing a quarantine. And so I had prepared for that by getting this box and also an exit game escape room in a box kind of thing, which you can find at a lot of places, a lot of big box stores and online, and they're like $10 to $20 each. And I made sure I did that one first because I felt that it would be the inferior experience. And that certainly was the case. It wasn't an unfun experience, but Paul, like what I value most about like the escape room experience is sort of this sense of like discovery and just like how did the designer put this whole thing together? And I felt that like, this is something that it feels, it's almost hard to talk about. It's almost just one of those things like, if the idea of figuring out a puzzle appeals to you in any way, shape, or form, you should just get this thing. And I will try not to like spoil anything, but you know, this game had so many moments where I squealed with delight because I was so pleased with the cleverness of the creators. And I feel like I'll leave my review at that. But it was a ton of fun. And yeah, I was immediately like, Paul, you need to check this thing out. And I plan to get them for other people if I possibly can find more copies.
Yes, I will agree with Andy that there were moments of audible excitement when I was completing this as well.
So that's NPH is Neil Patrick Harris's box one.
And Andy, what do you got?
So I'm just going to mention a film. Paul, it's been a weird year for films. I think we perhaps talked about this in the bonus episode we recently put out up on the Patreon now, that I was like having a hard time putting together my year-end top 10 film list, which normally is no problem at all because I've seen, you know, maybe 70 to 80 films in the year, new films that came out. And I had this kind of rush to check out a lot of films that people had been putting on their top 10 list towards the end of the year for literally no reason whatsoever, because it's just a handful of Facebook friends that are gonna be like, oh yeah, I liked a few of those, you know, like there's it's self-imposed pressure. But one that I had heard a lot of people talk about was this Small Axe series, which is done by Steve McQueen. And the one that a lot of people had been talking about was either Man, it's a series, it's five films, five full length films, and all, you know, separate standalone things. So it's a very ambitious project. And I've heard people say they loved Mangrove and Lover's Rock. So I checked out Lover's Rock and I found it to be such an enjoyable and almost relaxing experience. It's the type of film that I think critics love and general audiences hate because not a lot of stuff, quote unquote, happens within it. But the basic premise is that it's 1980s in West London and a house party is happening. And there's a lot of like classic like reggae music being played. And it's just sort of an experiential film. You're just sort of watching this house party happen. There's not really even like main characters. There's people you recognize. Things happen to them. You understand that there's some creepy dudes out there. So I guess, you know, content warning for creepy men. And you understand that people have relationships and friendships and all that kind of stuff. But mostly you're just sort of experiencing this night with these people. And it was just such a joy to just sort of have such a relaxing watch, even though there are some moments of unpleasantry, I guess you could say. But like in general, it's just one of those things where you're like, I'm just observing something and it feels entirely authentic.
How long is this?
This roughly? One's only like 78 minutes. So it's stretching the limits of full length film status. Other ones in the series are longer. I think Mangrove's like 2 hours long, but
Andy, I gotta be honest with you. I feel like I would not enjoy this, and that's okay.
I don't think you would, Paul. I would never recommend it.
It sounds plotless, and I think that's an issue for me.
So it really depends. This is a film that I wish I saw in a theater because I love these types of films that like basically, if you're watching them at home and you have the ability to look at your phone, it would really destroy your enjoyment of the film. And mm-hmm. So this took a lot of concentration on my part. I wish I was just in a dark room with really good sound watching this thing. And so I certainly recognize that this is very much an acquired taste for a lot of people, because again, there just really isn't a big narrative going on in this whole thing. You're just sort of experiencing this house party, but it is such an enjoyable, seemingly authentic fly on the wall experience.
Interesting.
I'll talk about some more films that you won't like in the bonus episode.
Yeah, so you know, I and Andy, you know what? I mean, this is a philosophy I've always tried to live. Not always. I mean, I would love to say always, but maybe I don't know, since I was like 20 or something like that. I don't need to enjoy something, and I'm not gonna crud all over your enjoyment just because it's not something I enjoy. So I think that's truly wonderful that you had that experience with this.
That sounds very forced. I think it's truly wonderful that you enjoyed this film.
I meant that genuinely, despite how it probably sounded.
Anyway, so if you enjoyed that stuff that we just talked about, totally not related to the usual topics of this show, be on the lookout for a bonus episode in a couple of weeks. But yeah, hopefully hearing people talk about the things that they like. I love hearing people talk about the things that they like, even if I have no interest in it whatsoever. So hopefully this episode can act as kind of a nice palate cleanser for the beginning of the year. And I think that's pretty much all that we have to say this week, right? We'll see everybody next week with the review of 73 Cows. I think we'll try to put a link to that film in the show notes, a short film, as you mentioned. And I just want to say we appreciate all you out there listening and that have been along on this journey with us.
Yeah, and we hope to continue to, you know, put out good, thought-provoking material. The end.
All right, so you can send your feedback in to thebeardedvegans@gmail.com. You can support the podcast by going to thebeardedvegans.com/beardo, spelled B-E-A-R-D-O. That'll give you access to that bonus episode that we keep teasing. And in the meantime, Paul, I think all we need to do is hear you say the following 7 words.
We are the Bearded Vegans, signing off.
Before we get into this conversation, flawless transition. Mm-hmm. I just gotta say this. I don't
You just gotta say
it. I just gotta say it, Paul.
Yeah. Watch it, Andy.
What?
Watch it.
What?
No spoilers.
What am I spoiling?
You're getting dangerously close.
Is what? Because I say You're like holding stuff.
All right.
I don't think any of those are. I feel like you saying that is more of a spoiler than me describing it.
I'll cut it out.
Okay.